Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Raise your hand right now, wherever you are, if you've eaten pizza for breakfast. Oh, yeah. Three hands all up here at CBS Sports Radio. Cold. Sometimes I warm it up. I love pizza for any meal. It's a great late night snack, as we know. It's good leftovers for lunch. Obviously, we eat it for dinner. And yes, it also works as a breakfast. And I don't even mean breakfast pizza. I mean the kind of pizza that you would eat at night, whoever decided that. It's National Pizza Week. And so, of course, we are celebrating. And now I feel as though I'm going to have to bring a pizza to work the next time that I show up. I cannot show up empty-handed after talking about all this pizza. According to a recent study, 98% of Americans like pizza. So this is a slam dunk. How do you like your pies? On National Pizza Week, even as you wake up in the morning, I feel as though you'll have a little more energy because we're talking about pizzas in addition to all of our sports. I do love the math here, though. My mom would be geeked up about it. According to the National Day calendar, which is where I got all my stats about National Pizza Week, it's the second week in January. See, it's not just a day. We like pizza so much, we need 7 days to celebrate our pizza. But here's the math. Every day, Americans eat 100 acres of pizza or 350 slices per second. I don't know what that says about us, but we do like our pizza. Now, around the world, over 5 billion, billion with a B, it's the B word, over 5 billion pizzas are sold each year. And this was a no-brainer. Super Bowl Sunday is the most heavily trafficked pizza day on the calendar.
That's nerd stuff.
It is, kind of. But nerdy pizza stuff, which means it's super cool. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also our show Twitter. And a lot of you sent your questions for Ask Amy Anything. I sometimes go back and try to answer the ones that Chris did not use. He also saves them sometimes if he likes them for future Ask Amy Anythings. It's a part of our hump show every week. And so I will try to answer if I can either on Twitter or on our Facebook page. But obviously, if you ask me 7 questions, I'm not answering all 7. So, you know, don't be greedy. We've been talking a lot about pizza, of course, and answering your questions. But also, the Major League Baseball fallout continues with the Red Sox on Tuesday. They do a preemptive strike. They fire their manager. Don't be fooled by the whole, it was a mutual parting of ways. Hell no, it wasn't. Alex Cora didn't want to give up his job as the manager of the Boston Red Sox after 2 seasons. Absolutely, he did not. But it's likely that he faces a year-long ban or more, considering that he was fingered by many inside the Astros organization as the ringleader. So you realize the commissioner's report, his memo, was based on the investigation. And the investigation included interviews with dozens of players. Those players pointed to Alex Cora. It was really interesting to talk to Scott Miller, National Baseball Insider, earlier in the show. He joined us from San Diego, and he's always very plugged in. And I didn't realize this, but the reason the players aren't getting disciplined, one of the reasons the players aren't facing penalties, is because baseball wanted them to be 100% honest and open, and so essentially offered them immunity. It's like we're in a court of law. Dun, dun. It's Law and Order. Essentially offered them immunity if they would tell the truth. And so the players, other than Carlos Beltran, who is now a manager for the time being, will not be named. Unless, of course, there are other players who come out and start telling their stories. That always happens, right? In this age of tell-all and all access, the truth eventually comes out. It's a little bit like the Mitchell Report. You guys remember that? Going back, gosh, was it the early 2000s now? 2003, 4? I don't even remember what year it came out. But the Mitchell Report, it probably wasn't quite that early, but the Mitchell Report was about the steroid era in Major League Baseball. And it was done by the investigator, the independent investigator, George Mitchell. His name was George, right? George Mitchell. And it named a few people that were participating in the steroid era, named a few people that were suspected of using PEDs, or a few people who had either positive drug tests. Now, they weren't supposed to be named, if you remember that. That was an agreement with Major League Baseball that the players who tested positive in this experimental, I don't know where I got that word from, experimental testing program would not be named. And yet some of those names were in the Mitchell Report. Well, I kind of feel the same way here. It sounds like the players are not supposed to be named. The commissioner says he's not going to name them because there's too many to name. And yet eventually I think some of them will come out. It may not even be interesting, since we know that it was prevalent for the 2017 Astros and at least early in the season for the 2018 Red Sox. Maybe we don't even need to know the names. But man, if you're Justin Verlander and you've spent your entire career taking a very strong stance against cheating, against PEDs, well then, don't you want to see a list where you are not included? Gosh. I read a lot of articles on Tuesday, and one of them that I really appreciated was from Buster Olney. He's a friend of mine, a great baseball reporter for ESPN. He looked at the victims from the Astros cheating scandal. I would encourage you to read it. I actually tweeted the link on Tuesday afternoon because he made a lot of points that I hadn't even considered. There's no way to know how the numbers were affected, if the outcome of the World Series would have been different. Maybe the teams in the World Series would have been different. There's no way to know this. But he even goes deeper, looking at a start in which Clayton Kershaw coughed up a big lead in the World Series. And maybe, if the Astros aren't stealing signs in that World Series, Clayton Kershaw doesn't end up giving the big lead, coughing up the big lead, and his postseason legacy is different. I mean, think about it. If Clayton Kershaw had a World Series ring, wouldn't we look at him differently? Wouldn't the narrative around Kershaw in the postseason be different? Of course it would. And so Buster Olney kind of dives deep into this, and it really made me think. It made me think about why the commissioner has to come down heavy. It's not just about the cheating and the fact that these teams went against a very recent amendment to the rule. They took the risk knowingly and got caught, and now they're going to pay for it. But there are a lot of other victims. This is not a victimless crime, so to speak. So I'd encourage you to read it. Alex Cora, out as manager of the Boston Red Sox, out as a manager of Major League Baseball, and may not ever get hired again, depending on how long his ban is handed down from the commissioner. But in his joint statement with the Red Sox, he didn't say he was sorry. Maybe that's because he's not sorry. And maybe we'll hear from him in a couple of days. Who knows? He'll do a tell-all with Oprah. But it did dawn on me that maybe he's not sorry. Maybe no one who participated in the cheating scandal is sorry, because they've got rings. And baseball is not going to take away those World Series titles. MLB is not the same as the NCAA. Those titles will stand. And I agree with that decision because, again, you don't know exactly. You don't know how to quantify what the sign stealing meant to the World Series. or to the postseason or to the regular season. So sure, it was cheating. But maybe on that one big hit against Clayton Kershaw, it wasn't a stolen sign. I don't know. I'm throwing out the hypotheticals to make you understand that it's hard to quantify what this meant in the 17 season. It does certainly beg the question, do the Astros not think they were good enough to win without stealing signs? Guess not. Either way, baseball can't go back and rewrite history. The titles have already been won. And so Alex Cora may get banned from baseball, but he'll do it with a pair of World Series rings. I don't know if they'll keep him warm at night or not, but how many people out there would risk getting caught to have the same glory, to have the same hardware, to be in the spotlight, to play on that stage? I talk to a lot of athletes who never get to experience the postseason or don't ever get to a championship game or round, and they know it's a missing piece. I don't know if you guys saw this. I don't remember which player it was, and I'm sure his sentiment is not unique, but during the, I think it was the Chiefs-Texans game, I believe, or maybe it was a Texans-Bills game. It was sometime when the Texans were playing. A current player tweeted, I would give my, please forgive my language, but this is his tweet. I would give my left nut to play in this game. Sorry, I've never said anything like that in my entire life, but I needed you to understand. You're men, you understand. Dave is nodding at me. I know it sounded odd coming out of my mouth, but I was quoting the tweet. So my point in making a fool of myself is that there are guys out there who would trade individual awards, who would give up years of their career if it meant they could play in the postseason, if it meant they could contend for a ring. So honestly, if you're not going to strip the titles, then maybe Alex Cora doesn't care. He made a lot of money, and he had all that glory. And maybe he doesn't even get the Red Sox managerial job if he doesn't serve as bench coach for the champion Astros in 17. And then I thought, because this is where my mind goes, what if there are other players who see that and realize that it's the general manager and the manager who are going to take the fall? So maybe it's worth the risk because the rings are not getting returned. What a tangled web. This has gripped Major League Baseball and sports for the last couple of days, and we still haven't heard from the commissioner about the punishment that Cora will face. And what about Carlos Beltran? Therein lies yet another really intriguing question. And I asked Scott Miller that question when he joined us in the earlier part of the show. Beltran's in a unique space because he was a player, but he's not a player anymore. And Scott says, I don't know how you can take away the privilege of managing from Cora and Hinch, AJ Hinch, but yet allow Carlos Beltran to keep that privilege when he was named in the commissioner's report. Yes, he was a player then, but he's a leader now. How can you take away the chance to be a leader from these other guys, but not from Carlos Beltran? Why should he still have that privilege? So we'll see whether or not the Mets see it that way, or whether or not baseball sees it that way. Obviously, there are still dominoes dropping, but it doesn't stop us from talking about National Pizza Week. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Please just forget that I said that thing, you know. Can we strike that from the record? It needed to be said. It was part of the, I just can't believe I said it. I definitely don't want my mom to hear it, or my grandmother. Also on our Facebook page, do you think my grandmother would even know what that means? Probably not. My 97-year-old Grammy Helen might not know what I mean when I say, well, you know, about the nut.
You hear what I said.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Record very disappointing, very close on a lot of things, but that's the most frustrating part, that we didn't make the changes and make the plays we needed to be in a better position. So very frustrated.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Baker Mayfield now has his fourth head coach since he entered the NFL. Think about that. He bears some responsibility for his play this year. Poor decisions, holding onto the ball too long, trying to make plays all by himself, forcing the football into coverage. I mean, he bears responsibility. Every player has to be accountable for the decisions they make, and he made some bad ones. But he's now got his fourth head coach since he entered the NFL. Isn't that crazy? Hugh Jackson was his head coach when he started. He got fired halfway through Baker's rookie year. Baker and the offense take off like hotcakes under Greg Williams, who does not get retained after serving as their interim head coach. Then it's Freddie Kitchens. That goes to hell in a handbasket. And now it's Kevin Stefanski. It reminds me of Carmelo Anthony. He got a bad rap when he was with the New York Knicks, and I get it. Some of his decisions on the court, again, he needs to be accountable for those. But heavens, it was a revolving door of teammates and coaches and general managers. He was the only constant in New York when he was with the Knicks. So, and it's not just Baker. You've got a bunch of young players on the Cleveland roster who are now about to answer to their fourth head coach. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jimmy Haslam, Paul D. Podesta, they hire Kevin Stefanski a year after D. Podesta wants to give him the job over Kitchens. It didn't work that way. And Stefanski said all the right things when he was introduced on Tuesday.
I'm not going to stand up here and make any bold predictions about what we're going to do this year. I'm not going to speak anything into existence right now. I can just promise you that we're going to work. I've already spoken to a few of our players already, and that's what I'm about. I'm about working, and I'm about putting a foundation together.
It's going to take a lot of work. At least he knows that. And that's not a knock on Cleveland. I would say the same thing about the Arizona Cardinals, the revolving door of coaches they went through for a couple of years there. They're essentially starting from rock bottom. And while they've made good progress, they're still working on building a winning culture with Cliff Kingsbury and with their new quarterback. It's the same thing in Miami. They've torn it. Oh my gosh. They've torn it down. I got caught between saying tear and tore. They've torn it down to build it back up. When you have to go through a true rebuild, and when it's been a while, and for the Browns, they have not made the playoffs, 17 years now? It's the longest drought in the NFL. You can't even remember who the coaches were the last time they made the postseason. And so this is one of those got to tear it down to build it back up. And now Kevin Stefanski is the guy who has got the, what's that called when you're swinging one of those, that heavy tool that you swing to take out a wall? What's that called? You know, those like, it's like a huge sledgehammer. Thank you. I was going to say it's a huge hammer, sledgehammer. He's now taking the sledgehammer to the walls because he's got to start all over again. And this is a risk that Jimmy Haslam is taking. I feel like it's old hat to him. But they're believing that Stefanski is the guy who's going to stick.
We'll have a culture of accountability. We'll have structures in place. The players will understand our rules and what we're about. And we're going to be demanding. And we're going to hold each player accountable. Because ultimately, I know this about players. They may not come out and ask you for that, but that's what they want.
I agree with that. As much as in this day and age, a lot of athletes want coaches who allow them to be themselves, coaches who give them some rope to be able to have their personalities and express their opinions, the best coaches can balance the two. Treat you like men, treat you like professionals, but also expect more. So because I care about you, because I believe in you, I'm not going to settle. I expect more of you. And Stefanski talks a lot about relationships. He talks a lot about wanting to build those with the players. But you know what that takes? Time. Will Jimmy Haslam and Paul DePodesta give him time? What if he's not able to lead the team to a winning record in 2020? Sure, it could happen. They've got great talent. But it's not a guarantee, as we well know, considering what happened this season. It could take some time. It took time in San Francisco. Is Jimmy Haslam willing to wait? And that's been the question that repeatedly has been answered with no, 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 no. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. What about Baker? What about Baker Mayfield? That's a big question as well with Stefanski.
I'm still in the infancy of studying last year, and we'll identify some things as we get going. But certainly when you're talking about this job and this franchise and everything that goes with it, you think about the quarterback, and I think the sky's the limit for the kid.
Yes. Just there are things that need to be unlearned. Does that make sense? There are habits. There was a culture. There was a system. In fact, there have been more than one. Those things need to be unlearned. Sometimes bad habits are harder to get rid of than positive habits are to instill. And once again, here comes the sledgehammer. That's my new analogy for the Cleveland Browns. I like it. We're sledgehammering the walls again, starting over. It was a shoddily built wall. We got to replace it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, you guys ready for the weirdest thing I've heard? Well, next to the mayonnaise, Andrew Bogish is in studio. It's National Pizza Week, always the second week in January.
Pizza Week?
Yeah. So
not Pizza Day.
No, because 98% of Americans like pizza. It's extremely popular, and so it needs an entire week. And so we've been asking people what they take on their pies. How do you like your pies? And we've gotten some pretty odd answers, like mayonnaise.
That's unacceptable.
That is unacceptable.
Is that person now in jail?
I hope
so. Have the authorities been called?
Maybe that's where they're getting their mayonnaise on pizza.
Mayonnaise on pizza?
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, we've gotten some pretty odd answers, but safe to say this is the weirdest, oddest, strangest. Scott says on Facebook, it has duck. He sends us a picture. It has duck on this pie. I've had it. It's awesome. Duck on your pizza. Duck. Quack, quack on your pizza?
I mean, I don't mind duck in and of itself. I've had it. It's pretty good. I haven't had it on pizza. It's far more acceptable than mayonnaise.
Well, that's true. And so what do you take on your pies, Andrew?
Well, I think I heard you say this yesterday, and I was partially insulted.
Of course you were.
Not the correct order for me, two slices, one's pepperoni, one's plain. But I heard you say that pepperoni is good, but not on pizza.
Yeah, I love pepperoni. It's a snack that my grandmother used to feed me when I was a kid. In fact, I would have slices of pepperoni with bread and butter, and it's delicious. I still eat it when I buy it at the store.
Not as a sandwich, like cubes? Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah, either way, you can put it in a sandwich, but generally when you bite the pieces of pepperoni, they come out anyway, so you might as well just eat the bread and butter. But I do not like pepperoni on pizza because I don't like it. It gets crunchy and the grease pools in the pepperoni, and I don't like it that way.
The grease is an issue, but I think that's, but it's a good issue.
Nah.
That is the correct vehicle for pepperoni.
Sorry.
On
no,
pizza.
I love plain pepperoni, even with crackers and cheese. It's tremendous.
Right, but that's almost pizza.
No, not cooked pepperoni. Not cooked. Not like.
I think you're getting your pepperoni well done by somebody.
Well,
who doesn't
I think
know how
you're boring because you like cheese pizza.
That's
fair. Cheese is not a topping; it's an ingredient.
I also like vanilla ice cream.
See, I knew it. I told you guys that what you take on your pizza is indicative of who you are as a person.
Well,
it says a lot about your personality.
One plain pie, one plain slice, but I also have the ability to handle the hot grease and overcooked pepperoni. So there's my toughness.
That's as wild as you get is pepperoni on your pizza?
No, I mean, there's every once in a while you need a buffalo chicken slice. I've had like a chicken parm slice.
Ooh, that sounds tremendous.
We could go fancy, go like little prosciutto and like white. You know, there's like no sauce. But, I mean, a regular, right now, is to a pizzeria.
Broccoli?
No.
I love broccoli on pizza.
Peppers and onions, really the only vegetables I would put on a pizza.
No, mushrooms?
No, mushrooms
are
gross.
Oh, we can't be friends. Oh, my gosh, that's it. I knew there was something wrong with you.
Mushrooms are gross.
I just heard someone say a white Alfredo pizza. So, like a chicken with the Alfredo sauce?
I've seen that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like people are trying too hard now, where there's, like, you can't hold the slice anymore because there's so much things on top and they come falling off.
I mean, this guy's going to have his duck go quack, quack, quack right off the side of the dish. So we're asking you, National Pizza Week, how do you take your pie? By the way, let's settle this right now. The majority of the country prefers thin crust. Don't kill the messenger.
Thin crust or regular crust?
No, thin crust. The majority of the country, according to the recent polls, prefer thin crust pizza.
How about no?
Seriously. Doing it right in New York and everybody else is messing things up elsewhere.
Would you give your left nut for a slice of pizza?
I'll just read my update.
Really? Wait, did you not hear what happened? Did you hear what I said at the top of the show?
I did not.
It was very awkward for me, but now that I've like broken the seal, I feel like I can just say it now. I feel very free. I can say that.
You said that at 2 a.m. this morning?
Well, no, top of this hour, actually. The boss is going to be thrilled. I was making the point that athletes very often will say or tweet that they would give their...
To be able to play in a playoff game.
And so now that I've said it and I've gotten it out there and I've done it, I feel very free. I can just say it.
You know, now that you mention it, that is a popular phrase, and I wonder how the left one became the expendable one. Right?
I don't know. Never mind. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah! That's for tomorrow's show.
Today we're still on pizza, please. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Andrew Bogish.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I am too, but I'm always hungry in the final hour of the show. My stomach is constantly growling. Yesterday morning, the boss and I were talking, and I had to cut our post-show conversation short because my stomach was growling so hard I couldn't even concentrate on what he was saying. I don't know what it is about talking, but it burns a lot of calories. Justin says on Twitter, A-Law Radio, I love to dip my pizza in ranch dressing. I've heard that. That's a popular way to take pizza. It's National Pizza Week. Over 5 billion pizzas are sold each year. How do you like your pies? And you guys are giving me some very interesting combinations. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. So having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com because that is easy. Before I get to some of your calls here and then some of your funny pizza responses, I will say you have surprised me on this show. Luke Kuechly surprised us as sports fans and as sports broadcasters by announcing his retirement in a video posted to the Carolina Panthers website as well as to Twitter and the other forms of social media. And he definitely got very emotional when he was talking about stepping away.
There's only one way to play this game since I was a little kid is to play fast and play physical and play strong. And at this point, I don't know if I'm able to do that anymore. And that's the part that is the most difficult is I still want to play, but I don't think it's the right decision. So I thought about it for a long time, and I think now is opportunity for me to step away with what's going on here.
He did miss 7 games because of multiple concussions going back to the 15, 16, and 17 seasons. And if you listen to the video, or actually, Chris, if you wouldn't mind retweeting that video from the Panthers on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, if you go back and you watch the video, it's pretty obvious he's torn over this decision. Sounds like it's a decision he's making for his physical and mental health as opposed to not having the passion for football anymore, something we have heard from players who've walked away before age 30. He turns 29 in April.
I hope to, you know, still be involved in some way. And the biggest thing at this point now is to thank the people that have helped me get me there, from the coaches and the players, to Coach Rivera, to Marty, to Mr. Richardson for bringing me in, and now Mr. Tepper. Now, this decision has nothing to do with new coaches and Coach Rule. He's going to do a fantastic job. His track record's proven, but for me, now is the right opportunity to move in a different direction.
He was wearing this special collar over the last couple of years. It was around his neck. You may have noticed it when you're watching Panthers games. And the guy who invented it claims that it reduces the risk of concussions. And so he may or may not be stepping away because of his mental health, potential long-term impacts on his brain. Maybe he's still feeling some type of effects, although I certainly hope not. You wouldn't think that the team would have him playing that way. But he did say his farewell from the linebackers room at Bank of America Stadium. He talked about how he's watched countless hours of film in that room. I have heard quarterbacks and other offensive players tell stories about Luke Kuechly and how he would hear the snap count or the call, the play call, and he would know what was coming. And sometimes quarterbacks would be forced to change at the line on the fly because Kuechly, who's so smart and dedicated to understanding what was happening and also called the signals, so to speak, called the plays for the defense. He's the captain of the defense, the quarterback of the defense. He would know exactly where the ball was going and what was going to happen, what the first option was. He was a student of his craft, and he was just so good at it. Hit so hard, of course. Just a fierce, ferocious defender. Passionate. Game changer when he's out there. And every time he made a tackle, Luke! I can't do it like a stadium full of fans can, but I will definitely miss him. He was the defensive player of the year in 2013 and always played like he owned the joint. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up on Sunday on CBS, it's the AFC Championship, featuring a matchup of two contrasting styles. Derrick Henry and the Titans with that ball control game. They head to Kansas City to face Patrick Mahomes and the high-flying Chiefs offense that we saw in their comeback against the Texans. The winner gets a date in Miami, Super Bowl 54. It all begins with a special two-hour edition of the NFL Today. Starts at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, Sunday on CBS. I did put up my latest weekly column on Tuesday evening, so if you're just waking up, maybe you didn't see it. I was writing about divisional weekend a little bit, but I put it through the lens of this time last year. So we're going into Championship Sunday. This time last year, no idea what we were in store for. Now, 12 months later, what are the two moments that we talk about over and over again? No one has forgotten the blown pass interference call with Nickell Robey-Coleman late in New Orleans between the Saints and the Rams. That game goes into overtime, Saints lose. The other moment that I reference a lot here on the show, Chiefs-Patriots, Arrowhead Stadium, Dee Ford. Offsides penalty negates an interception of Tom Brady that could have changed the outcome of the game. And we teased Dee Ford because he was caught on camera saying, they said I was offsides. Was I? I mean, it's a moment that I can't forget. And as I was thinking about the divisional round, and certainly wild card weekend as well, we've had these incredible moments, unforgettable moments. And not all of them are plays. Not all of them are individual feats of strength. Some of them are reactions. Some of them are things that I noticed as I was watching the game. So here we are 12 months later, and there are moments that stick with us. And so my column this week was about some of the moments that are sticking with me, individual moments. But also, wow, does the NFL have a really high bar set for championship weekend because of everything we've seen in the playoffs so far? 855-212-4227. Leonard is in Idaho. Leonard, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just for the pizza, I like Canadian bacon and pineapple hand-tossed stuffed crust.
So you're on board with the pineapple?
Oh, very much, right. Yeah, it compliments the Canadian bacon.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I guess with the NFL, I'm a long-term Patriots fan, or it's painful just to have what sort of, I don't know if it's spiraling downward or whatever. It's some say it's coming to the end of a dynasty and such, and sure, a lot of signs are there. And so it's generally like, I salute them for having stayed to the end, and it came down to a final play in that game against the Titans. So, however, you know, there's next year and all that good stuff, and Tom Brady said a lot of good comments relating to his career. So.
Yeah, you're not genuinely worried that, they've fallen off a cliff, are you?
No.
Okay.
Because they can reload, or, I mean, there's always players that arise, you know, for drafts or trades or whatever. So.
Well, and they have a winning culture. They have a winning system. And they have a Hall of Fame coach, one of the best to ever do it. So they don't need to rebuild, and certainly they're not in that space. They still won their 11th straight AFC East championship. And they definitely had weaknesses. They had fatal flaws. But, yeah, I don't think we should be crying for the Patriots just yet.
Oh, no, no. So in relation to the scandal for the sign stealing.
You have about 30
shocking,
seconds, sir.
Just, I don't know how else. I don't have a lot of opinion other than it's just very shocking.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm a, I grew up a Dodger fan, so that definitely when that started to be, you know, talked about, the Buster Olney article, is it, mm-hmm. about like all the specific repercussions. And
right.
Such. That was really something that really said a lot.
It was. I would agree. It made me think about some of the victims that I hadn't actually considered before that. Leonard, thanks so much for your phone call and for listening. And I don't have to let you go because the show is over, but it was good to talk to you. 855-212-4227. I don't know that I've ever taken a phone call quite up to the end of the show, but maybe I have, I guess in my career, probably have. Provolone and pepperoni baked. Well done. It feels like we're trying to reinvent the wheel here with some of our pizzas. Now, I will grant you that plain old cheese is too boring. And pepperoni, nah. But do we have to get all kinds of crazy with our toppings? I feel like broccoli is as wild as I get. Enjoy National Pizza Week. You know you want to eat pizza. I'm bringing some to work tonight. Talk to you then. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.